Book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, 16 to 18. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So in these three verses, the Lord has spoken with him to his disciples about fasting. And by the time when the Lord was speaking this Mount on the Sermon, the Pharisees in those days used to fast twice weekly. So that we read in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. So we read that just for this reference. Book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 11 and 12. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fasted twice in the week. I gave tithes of all that I possess. So they religiously, those who are outwardly follow the religion, the Pharisees, they used to fast twice a week. And one is Monday and another one, the next day is Thursday. So Moses, when he went second time to bring the tables of law, the first time he went and spent 40 days, and he brought the tables of law written by the hand of God, and it was broken because he saw them worshipping the golden calf made by Aaron. Second time he went, and he went on Thursday, and he brought the law which was written on the tables of law, and returned on Monday. So those 2 days they used to feel it is very special, and those 2 days are marked out for their fasting. Also, I don't know exactly what is the day, but one of those days, either Monday or Thursday, people come from many parts of surrounding areas to Jerusalem, and for buy things or different activities. And it doesn't mean that they don't come on other days, but largely because of the market. And then these people used to stand on the street corners with the long robes, with the disfigured faces and a sorrow outlook, so that people would know that these are very pious people, very devoted, and they also fast every time when we come and see these people. So that is what the Lord is saying in verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of the sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. So you don't have to tell people that I am fasting, but when the people look at you, then they would know that you are fasting. And also each time when people come and say that every time Monday to Thursdays you are doing that, then people would think that you are a very pious man and greatly devoted and very religious. And that is, so to get the recognition from the people, these men were with a sad countenance and were disfiguring their faces. They used to stand on the street corners and do twice a day. So the Lord is saying, you don't do that. So their intention is not to please God, or whatever the intent, whatever the burden they are coming to by fasting, that was not their heart. So that is why you don't do those things. But when you do like hypocrites, that means you outwardly, in a physical sense, then you are appearing that you are fasting, but in within your heart, but that is not the condition of your heart. So he said, you don't do that. And if you they do it openly, they have their own reward. Now, as far as giving alms and the prayer and the fasting, everything, the Lord advising his disciples not to do it openly. And it need to be done in secret. And when you do it secret, then the Lord will, who seeth in secret, also will give you reward. But if people are making it open and with a different intention, that they wanted to have the recognition from the people, then they had their reward. Verse 17, but thou when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. So there in verse 16, they were looking that they are disfiguring their faces, that very sad looking. But here the Lord is advising his disciples, if you do fast, because fasting is not a commandment, but if anybody chooses to do it, he is not saying you don't do that. But if you do that one, then you anoint your head and wash thy face. So that means you look nice, neat. And also when you are anointing your head, in the Old Testament, anointing has got three purposes. One, if God has told the high priest to anoint someone to be a king, that means for the authority, or for a prophet, that means he is going to be the mouthpiece of God, then a priest to serve God between God and man. And those are the three major purposes for the anointing in the Old Testament. Either to exercise as a representative of God in the kingdom, or a priest between God and man, or become a mouthpiece of God as a prophet. So if you are coming to the fasting, if you are praying, then you anoint your head. So it's not that somebody anointing, but you need to have that kind of a accessibility in relationship with God. And that is the meaning of coming to the prayer, fasting and prayer. And if you are expressing that you are sad about fasting, then you don't do it. But if you are fasting, then you are bringing your body or the physical senses under the subjection to come closer and also energize your inner being to become much more closer access to feel much more closer access to the Lord and the spiritual powers, then you anoint. That means it is a positive thing. There in verse 16 that you are expressing that you are sad about it. But here only you are bringing your body under subjection, but inwardly then you need to rejoice because you are coming much more closer experience with the Lord. Then he says, and wash thy face. Then you don't need to appear that you have not eaten food for a day or whatever the time they choose to keep it. They look cheerful. So when inwardly then you are enjoying the presence of the Lord, then man will say that man will not live by bread alone, but every word which comes out of the mouth of God. So then that is what which brings the relishment and encourages their inner being, and they look much more cheerful than what we see and notice in verse 16. And verse 17, verse 18. But thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father who is in secret. And not only that, if you are anointing and washing thy face and in doing inside, then you don't expect that people should notice you that. You stay inside. But unto the Father who is in secret, thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So when you are fasting with that kind of a heart, Lord, I wanted to come much closer to you. And my heart is broken and I am convicted. But I wanted to have the experience of becoming your mouthpiece. Or I wanted to have that kind of a prayer burden in fasting as a function as a priest between myself and you, and also my fellow brothers and sisters. That is what I fast and come before you with a broken heart on behalf of all my brothers and sisters. Then the Lord will see you in secret, and also openly he will reward you, because you have brought your physical senses under the subjection, recognized the need of the brothers and sisters with a broken heart, with a priestly heart, with a love-filled heart. You have knelt down before the presence of the Lord and not making it a show to other people, but in the presence of the Father. So we can see a few places where it was recorded about fasting. And the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. So I'm reading few verses from verse 3 onwards. Book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Wherefore have we fasted and say, thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact your labors. So they were saying in the time of Isaiah that we are fasting, but God, you are not taking note of our fasting. Then the Lord is putting a counter question. Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, or your own, for your own thing, and exact all your labors. That means you make your people or workers to work much more harder than same way. You don't give any break to your people. You have that kind of a very strict regimental attitude towards your servants. And that is not acceptable. When you say that I am fasting, but you are doing outwardly fasting, but also getting that work done, you don't have any kind of a tender, loving heart to service. When your heart is not that way, then why should I accept your fasting? So which was missing towards the missing relationship between the master and the servant there. And they were not considerate. And they were not careful about how to treat them. Also, when every 7 years, any servant who is working with them and he needed to be let go. But these men, those who are rich people in the country, they used to avoid that freedom for the servants. And by some maneuvering and manipulation, they used to get them back again. So with that kind of a heart, outwardly when they are expressing, we are fasting, why are you not listening our prayer? And that will not be noted by the Lord. So means when a person is fasting, but his heart is not right with the Lord, in the condition of that heart is not right with the Lord's precepts, then the Lord is not going to honor that fasting. It has got no value. Verse 4. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day. Make your voice to be heard on high. So when you fast and make your voice on high to be heard, then you have a contentious heart. So it is not a peace like a river which is flowing smoothly. No, that kind of a flow is not in the thoughts of your heart. You are filled with a rage of anger, and your heart is filled with some kind of a different feeling or a contention with other people. Then that fast has got no meaning. Verse 5. It isn't such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as in a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth ashes under him? Will thou call this as a fast, an acceptable day for the Lord? If we just outwardly put ashes, sackcloth, and sitting on the floor, is it going to be considered as a fast? The Lord says, that means no. Verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? So what the Lord has chosen during the fast? to loose the bands of the wickedness. So if anybody is in the wickedness or doing which is not right in the sight of God, you need to bring them back to the normalcy. See book of James, chapter 5, in verse 18 onwards I'm reading. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which convert the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. So when a person was fasting, the kind of heart the Lord is looking on the day of the fast, and the heart condition of that person when he fasted, then if a person choose to convert a man from his wickedness, from his mistakes, so that he may be able to save his soul from going to the punishment. So when our hearts are not burdened towards the spiritual welfare of the people, and if our hearts are filled with self, then that fasting is not considered as a fasting in the sight of God. Then verse 6. To do the heavy and undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free. So if anybody is working with you and you are oppressing them and you let them go free, or if there are people whom you know and they are under oppression, if you help them to become free, then you do so. That means towards the people, and what kind of a heart and love and affection I carry to make them free so that they may serve the living God and have a good conscience and a relationship with God. And that is the fasting God chose. Verse 7. Is it not deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor to the cast out of thy house? When thou see the naked, that thou cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. So the fasting is helping the poor, feeding the needy, hungry, and bring them to your house, and take them, and receive them, and love them. See, when anybody come and gather for a fasting, and that is the condition of the heart which is required whereby our prayers will be heard. And when we are coming strictly for something which we need, that is, it is, this is much appreciated by the Lord. When we come with that kind of a heart, a burden towards the people, a heart to connect, to do, render good to the people, then the Lord blesses that soul. In verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health and spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. And it is saying there, the hypocrites, the Pharisees, were making their countenance fell and disfiguring their faces. And here they are saying, the Lord is saying, if you have that kind of a heart and fasting and helping the poor and taking care of the needy people and receiving the people and helping them, and that you will receive the glory. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. That means that is what he is going to give it to you. But in the New Testament, when we see the Lord, in the same principles we would apply, that is in the New Testament as well. That is the condition of the heart. But in the New Testament, in the Pharisees, we see that, as we read in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, when they fasted, they did not really show this kind of a heart towards the people. The one who was praying in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, I was not like this publican. So if he was a true person in his heart, he should have done something to bring the person out of that any wickedness, if whatever the wickedness he seems that he has, it seems he, that person has. Or at least he should have expressed the burden, but that was not seen in the heart of a Pharisee. But in the New Testament, many people ask, the Protestant people, they don't fast. In some of the Christian groups, they fast Lent 40 days. So that is the time that the Lord was the 40 days, then they want to fast. I don't know clearly then why do they do that. But in the New Testament, fasting is not a commandment. But there is an incident where the Lord said in, we'll go back to book of Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. And this is a passage where the Lord has given that glorified, transfigured there, and Peter, John, and James have seen that man, glorified Lord. They came back when they came down from the mount, and there was a father who has son affected by the, or possessed by the demons. The Lord cast out the demons. Before that, his disciples tried, but they could not do it. So I read few verses in that. And verse 23 onwards. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou in mine unbelief. So it was not the problem of the disease that Lord could not cast out. But the father had no faith. So then he asked him, if you believe, then everything is possible. The father repented and asked, Lord, heal my unbelief. Then he did not ask that the Lord to heal his son. But Lord did it in 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried out and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was one dead. He was as one dead. In so much that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? 29. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So this is what the Lord said. So they were supposed to cast out the demons, but they could not do it. Then when the Lord asked them, why we could not do it? He said, it is only will be cast out by the fasting and prayer. So this is where the Lord has said in Matthew 6, and if you pray, fast, and here also he said the fasting. And when the Lord said by fasting, so what he meant was that what we have been seeing in Matthew 6 and also John's Gospel chapter 58, to have that power to overcome that. The demons which are possessing. And when we are truly broken and contrite heart, and the heart condition what the Lord was looking at us, when it is there, and with that heart when we pray, the Lord will hear our prayer, because we are gathering and fasting and asking him to bring the person from the forces of the wickedness. And that is the man for fasting and prayer there. But when we are making the fasting as a ritual, like what Pharisees have done weekly twice, Monday and Thursday, or other denominations and the other gatherings, they practice it on a regular basis. But when we do that on a regular basis and do not maintain that kind of a heart what God is looking at, then we lose the sanctity of the meaning of that fasting. So here we see a great work needed to defeat the powers of darkness. And then the Lord was saying that you need to fast and pray. And whenever we are just for the sake of gathering and fasting, and that time, and without the condition of the heart, either in Isaiah 58 or Matthew 6, then that lose its efficacy. But when you maintain that kind of a heart condition and see the need, a brother needed to be delivered, or a person needed to be something spiritually awakened, quickened, and with a great burden when we come, the Lord will honor those prayers. So we have a great example in the Old Testament book of Jonah, chapter 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put it on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with a sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, he did not do it. So very beautiful picture. When the people have repented truly, the Lord has changed his thought of doing something evil unto them, punishing on them. And we see here, the king has declared the entire country to go fasting and repent and ask the Lord for the mercy. And there is a great judgment was hanging upon their heads. The nation is going to be destroyed if they do not repent. Then the fasting was declared, the man and beast both. And they have manifested their fasting by putting on the sackcloths. They did not eat, they did not drink. And with a true repentance, they came to God. And the expression of, and also physically, they did not feed their senses. And brought under the control and sensitivity so that they may be able to think properly in terms of what God would want. And what is that really God saw the wickedness, the condition of their hearts which are not in line with God. And they brought everything in harmony with God. At least repented. So we don't know that they were believers before. But a heathen country, when the king and the nation repented, and God has put that punishment or the discipline out of the way from their lives. So here we see that a declaration for fasting for a great purpose, not on a regular basis. And that, as an assembly, when we find that is the need which we all need to come together and do fasting. But all the time, whenever we are talking about fasting, the condition of the heart, as we read in Matthew 6, and also in book of Isaiah chapter 58, those conditions applicable. And with that condition, with a broken heart, to please the Lord. And when we truly repent and come to the Lord will answer our prayers. And there is a great power in that one. But we cannot make it as a ritual the way some of the people did it. And also in the Old Testament people did it. And in the long run, that it lost its efficacy. And finally, one more place in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. So I'm reading from verse 33 onwards. Book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, reading from verse 33. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? So when the Lord was preaching, the Pharisees came and asked him, the disciples of John, they do fast. And Pharisees' disciples and Pharisees themselves also do fast. But your disciples are not fasting. Why are they not fasting? So in the Old Testament, they made it as a practice, and now that has been continued during the time of our Lord. So the question came up, his disciples never pray, while he was here, they did not fast. Then they thought, if he was a man from God, then he should have asked his disciples to fast. But they did not. Then he answered them in verse 34, and he said unto them, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? Even the John said that he is the bridegroom. So I am only his friend. So as long as the bridegroom is here in the bride chamber, the bridegroom and the people who are in the bride chamber, that is his disciples, they don't fast. So in the Jewish culture, the marriage festivities are for 1 week. On that 1 week, the bridegroom and the people who are with his friends, are exempted from all activities, of the religious activities, either fasting, prayers, offerings, even is there a mourning, even that is also exempted. Even if it is the day of the atoning blood festival, that is also exempted. So that means that is carries such a weightage in their culture, in their the way they have observed the marriage. So as long as the bridegroom is here with them and they don't fast, that is the time of the joy and celebrating the festival time, a good time. So as long as Lord is here with them, they don't fast. They don't need to fast there. Verse 35. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. So time is coming. So after 2.5 years or 3 years later, then the Lord will be taken up. He will be crucified and be gone. And when that is in the absence of the bridegroom, and they will do fast. So that means they will really be understood. They will understand in the absence of him how they need to conduct their lives. But if they, now the Lord is going to introduce a new dispensation. Up to that point of time, the Moses law was prevailing. During whatever the Lord is, if the Lord has taken some of the things which are observed in the Old Testament and put it on the New Testament, what the Lord is going to introduce, that will not work. They both we mismatch. So what the fasting which they are doing it, and it's simply borrowing that one and bringing it here and applying it in the new dispensation, what the Lord is going to introduce, it is not by the doings of man's works. It is the Lord is going to bring us into a new dispensation. The sins are saved because of the gracious work of the Lord, the propitiatory work. And the man now would live by the power of the Spirit who indwells in every man who believes. But there, it is a man's power and simply observing outwardly, doing the things of the law. So if they need to match both, that will not work. Then he spoke that in the following verses. Verse 36. And he spoke also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of a new garment upon the old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and peace that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. If the old garment is rent, then you are trying to put a patch with the new cloth, and the hole will become big. It will be renting more because the new cloth is not yet dressed properly. It is not wet. It is not shrunk. So it tries to pull by its power the old cloth, and it will rent more. So the new things which the Lord is now going to bring in, if you apply it in the old garment, that is the system of the Old Testament, they both will not go well. And ultimately, it will spoil the whole thing. So he said, I don't want to tell my disciples to fast now. That will not work. Moreover, the fasting, in your sense, it is a different aspect. But what I wanted is my disciples should fast on the basis of Isaiah 58 or Matthew 6. But you don't have the understanding of that. You wanted to do it everything outwardly, a religious form. Only people should recognize, but not in the sight of God. So it has got no meaning. I cannot simply bring whatever I am going to introduce my disciples after my departure. If I simply borrow that and put it here, and that is not going to work. Then he said, where it will work, verse 37. And no man putteth new wine into the old bottles. Else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled. The bottles shall perish. New wine must be put into the new bottles. And both are preserved. So if you take an old wine bag, then put a new wine into that, then that will also burst out. Because the new wine has got a capacity to expand by fermentation. But that old bag has already expanded and it doesn't have any ability to further expand. So it will go off. Then the wine will be spilling over. It will be lost. So what you need to do, the new wine you take it and put it in a new bag. So that means if you are asking me to my disciples to do the fasting the way you are doing it, and that will completely ruin the things. And they need to put now I am going to bring it to them into understanding about the forgiveness of sins and a man learning to live in relation to God and man both. That should be entirely based upon the new dispensation. And that new dispensation, the way they are, they learn how they need to function and apply into their own lives. And as the Spirit guides them and molds them and uses them, and if the Spirit convicts them, then this is the burden of the Lord, and fast and pray, let them do it as the Spirit guides them. So the new wine takes the different forms of the mold, as it expands, and by fermentation the change happens in the wine, the bag takes its shape accordingly. So when the Lord brings forth the graciousness into our hearts, and because of the Spirit functioning in our lives, the inside man is taking the form of the spiritual man. And with that understanding and with that function, if a man commits himself into fasting and sensing the need, and that is what is the real meaning of fasting. And when we are not able to understand that, if it is not being led by the Spirit, and when we are not giving any shape to the new wine or the new life functioning in our lives, we wanted to go back to the old thing because somebody is doing and we also wanted to do it, where our hearts are not shaping up because of the fermentation or God's deeper work inside, the fasting has got no meaning. So as we are touched by the grace of the Lord and gifted by the Holy Spirit, and who lives that kind of allow that Spirit to abide in them, dwell in them, not as a visitor, but as a person continually living in us. And as he is shaping up our life, then our life is shaping up according to what God wanted, and sense the burden and come with a broken and a contrite heart before the Lord and observe the fast, then the Lord will bless that soul. And there is a power in that. Then the demons will be cast out. And the evilness or any person in the wickedness can be brought out. So when a person is not shaped by the new wine, new life, what God gives, and that has got the power, and that life is not in operation outwardly, when we are making, disfiguring our faces and making sad of our countenances and speaking that I am fasting, and that has got no meaning in the presence of God. Then verse 39. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new. So if anybody is used to the old wine, so habitually doing the outward form of religion, so they know that Saturday is the fasting and prayer. How our hearts need it to be, and what is the purpose, and how the Spirit is leading me to go and fast and bring the work of the anointing, either a priest or a prophet or an authority, and we don't have that, any of that understanding, or our hearts are not truly prepared for the functionality of the Lord's dealing, you don't have to do all that. Then you go fast, and after 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock and you have a meal, that is good for us. So you don't need to allow the work, deeper work of the Spirit in your life. The person always will say the old wine is good. But what happens to the new wine? The new wine is not as melodious as the old wine. It is a little bit of rough while swallowing it, because it is not really totally be yet taken its full, the taste or the flavor developed. So that is why this yet being developed and rough while swallowing and no flavor, it is not liked by the people. Inside a deeper work of the Spirit, always it rubs our old nature, brings us into the true nature of us, what it is, and also make us to see what God wanted when I fast and pray. That is a work of death in us and allowing the life of the Lord to come out. But then how do a person likes it? No, it is painful. It is not pleasant. But if you have to go to the fasting and prayer on every weekly basis, and I don't have to eat on that day, that is fine. So I'll go and do it, fulfill my religious responsibility, and that has got no meaning in the sight of God. Let the wine or the spiritual life, truly when you allow, let it take its shape and direct your life unto the Lord and also in relation to man. And sense the burden through the Spirit and pray for the brothers and sisters and pray for the fulfillment of God's desire. When you fast, that has got a real meaning for that. And the Lord will honor that prayer. So we don't like the new wine because it is a continual cutting work. No flavor. It is painful. How we all easily got used to certain type of religious activity, ignoring, allowing the deeper work of the Spirit. Let it take its shape, change my life, take its own form, which will be acceptable to the Lord. That is why the Lord said, unless the spiritual dimension dispensation starts, if you just do the fasting, it is no good. That is why I don't tell them to do fast now. But when the spiritual dispensation, where according to the promise on the day of the Pentecost, he came upon them, they were filled as if they were filled with the new wine. With a lot of vigor, lot of life, lot of strength. And that is what the Lord was asking. That time, it is the spiritual burden which leads us to prayer. But in the Old Testament, the fasting overtakes us. But in the New Testament, when truly the new life is overtaking us, Then when you don't eat, it doesn't matter. Because you are filled with still the anointing of the oil. And there is a great blessing in that manner.